Our scripture reading for this morning continues in Matthew's account of the good news of Jesus, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. If you would like to follow along, it can be found on page 28 of the New Testament of your Pew Bible. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at least we see the fulfillment of your kingdom, where in the words of the psalmist, justice and peace kiss, faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we've made it to our final push here in Matthew's gospel. You may have noticed that with the exception of the summer, we have actually been in Matthew since last Advent season, since before last Christmas. And we're going to be in this 25th chapter of Matthew for these last three Sundays, including today, these last three Sundays here of the church year, of the liturgical year. Today and then the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in Matthew 25. And then the new church year, the Christian year, will begin again. We begin our church year not with January 1st, but with the first Sunday of Advent that is in, if you can believe it, 3 weeks from today. Shocking, I know. The church year begins with the season of Advent. And it ends on a day that's coming up in just a couple weeks called the Reign of Christ Sunday in the church calendar, the liturgical calendar. That's on November 26th this year. The movement of the whole year in the church, from the waiting and the longing of Advent and the recognition of our need for Jesus to come, to the final culmination of Jesus as King and the celebration of the promise of Christ reigning in all things. This is a yearly proclamation, the way that we inhabit the year as the church, as a community of faith, the way we engage time, how we tell time, and what time perhaps tells of us, also proclaim the story of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, of the life and death and resurrection of Christ, his present and coming kingdom that is leading to the redemption of all things. Time, space, and matter are all created by God, redeemed by Christ, and made holy by the Spirit. Those are the words of one of the opening sections that is a part of the Presbyterian Church's constitution, the part called the Book of Order, and this section that speaks of the theology behind and in our worship. And it goes on to say that through Christian worship, we participate in God's plan for the redemption of time, space, and matter, for the glory of God. Because these are all part of God's creation. And it goes on to talk about, among other things, the yearly rhythms and seasons of worship. How we experience time in the church. And so even the yearly framework for gathering week in and week out for worship and the different seasons of the church, that says something about who we are as people and who God is as creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Why? Because, again, even time is both a staging ground in and staging ground for and an object of God's redemptive work in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God stepping into history, into time, our time. Time is a part of creation. And since the beginning, humanity has had the calling to be stewards of God's creation. And how we steward time is a part of that. And so as we head toward the final day of the church calendar, Reign of Christ Sunday, right? And if you're going to have a culminating day of the year, a day to proclaim the fullness of time, right? What better image and proclamation than Christ reigning over all things, right? And then we'll begin the yearly rhythm and proclamation again with Advent and our longing and our need for Christ to come and show up in our time, in our lives. And so today we've got actually a few things going on here. One, in the lead up here, we're in Matthew 25 for these remaining 3 weeks, and we're going to look at this and divide it into three sections. We just read the first one for today, and then the next two over the next 2 weeks. And in this week's and next week's, you may have noticed in this one, right, there we've got some themes of waiting kind of mixed in here. Perhaps it's even now a little rehearsal for the season of Advent that is coming up. And also here in the life of this church, in our congregation, November 26th, in just a couple weeks, is our stewardship dedication Sunday. It's the day that is marked in the church for rejoicing that Jesus both already is king and reigns over all things, and affirming that promise is also at the same time not yet, but there will be a day when we no longer live in that tension of the already not yet of God reigning in our lives and in the world. But in fact, that all creation, right, will live in the eternal present of the fullness of God one day. That is also the day that we dedicate our pledges, our giving for the next year, kind of in response to that promise. And so there'll be more information about that you'll be getting in the next couple weeks. But because of that, part of our framework for these 3 weeks is stewardship, and specifically stewardship in light of the promises of God. And through these three sections in Matthew 25, we'll be looking at stewardship of time, of our talents and resources, and then finally, stewardship of our service, our ministry, our work, as individuals, yes, but also as a community. Right, called, formed, and shaped by Jesus. And so we begin all of this with another parable. We've had a bunch of parables over these past couple months, and we've got one more here today. The kingdom of heaven will be like. A familiar parable phrase, right? Though there's a shift in it now. Did you catch what it was? What it is? It's not the kingdom of heaven is like. This time Jesus says the kingdom of heaven will be like this. And so already we're put in this posture of waiting, right? Waiting for what will be. The kingdom of heaven will be like something, right? The kingdom of heaven has something to do with the way we prepare for, or maybe even more than that, has something to do with how we participate in the waiting for this something. This something that is like a wedding banquet, like a feast, like a party. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. And so begins this parable by Jesus, this short little story about oil and lamps and an occasion of waiting and different ways that we prepare or not to wait. This particular parable comes as Jesus' public ministry is coming to an end. Chapter 25 in Matthew is the last chapter before the plot to kill Jesus and his betrayal and arrest that lead to his crucifixion. We were in chapter 23 last week, but in the intervening chapter, chapter 24, leading up to this, it is filled with all sorts of both apocalyptic and eschatological. That's just a word they make you learn in seminary that just means dealing with final or ultimate things. All this imagery about final or ultimate things, Jesus foretelling the destruction of the temple and questions about the signs of his second coming and the end of the age. And in all that, throughout that, he talks about waiting with watchfulness and waiting in faithfulness. And that's when he tells this little story about a wedding. A story about a very common experience of those participating in a wedding, waiting for the right time when it begins. 10 bridesmaids are waiting to meet the bridegroom with lamps in hand. Some of them are wise, we are told, and some of them are foolish. The ones who are foolish, they have their lamps, but they don't have any extra flasks of oil. The wise ones, though, they do have those extra flasks with them. Weddings in that time or place, one of the customs was that the wedding party would be waiting, perhaps at the family home of the bride, waiting for the groom to come. And then, and only then, would there be the procession to where the wedding celebration was going to be. But this time, the bridegroom is late. So they're standing there with their lamps burning, shining like they're supposed to, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Well into the dark of night. So long, in fact, that they begin to nod off. And then finally, they all fall asleep. And then sometime around midnight, they're awoken with a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And they scramble awake and they trim their lamps, right, tidying up perhaps the already burned part of the wick to get a better flame. But over the course of the evening and into the night, it seems all the lamps have just about burned through all their oil. "Quick," the foolish say to the wise, "give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, right, if we do that, there won't be enough for any lamps. So hurry, right, go, make a quick Target run, get some more for yourselves." And so off they go to get some more oil. And meanwhile, while they're gone, the bridegroom shows up. He's come to lead the procession to the wedding banquet, to the party. And those that were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And now, as we know, right, Target runs never end up being quick, do they, right? And so it's only much later that the other bridesmaids finally show back up, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you." And then Jesus, having finished this little story, turns to his disciples and says, "Keep awake," or rather, "keep watch, keep alert. Be ready, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And this, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. So we remember a bit of what parables are like, right? The parables are these stories that are not systematic theology or even full-on allegories to help develop a robust theology about, in this case, about all the ins and outs of Jesus' second coming. All right, parables are stories told to focus our attention on one particular point by giving us an image of something. And so this isn't even a story of what the bridegroom is like or about what the wedding banquet is like. Here, the point is that the kingdom of heaven will be like being wise, like someone who made sure they had enough oil to wait well and good in and through the night. It will be like someone who is prepared to keep the light burning during all the waiting. The kingdom of heaven will be like stewarding our time in particular ways. Stewarding our time in light of, as it were, the hope and promise of Jesus, the one who is the light of the world. The kingdom of heaven will be like lights that are able to shine in and through the waiting. Notice that that was the only difference between the wise and the foolish here. They are all invited to be a part of this wedding. They are all there with the right amount of oil in their lamps for the expected task and calling. They all grow tired. They all need rest. And so they all fall asleep. They all wake up at the sound and shout of that the bridegroom has shown up. And they all trim their lamps at the coming of the bridegroom. The only difference is that the wise had, for whatever reason, prepared differently. They had stewarded their waiting, their time, differently. We might wonder, you know, what would have happened had the foolish, instead of making an anxious target run late at night for more oil, if they had just stood there, still waiting on the bridegroom with nothing but their need. And I suspect the invitation to come participate in the wedding festivities would not have been rescinded. But this isn't a parable meant to teach us about grace. That doesn't mean that grace is not a big part of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we better believe that it is. But it just means that this parable is actually about something else about the kingdom. And despite the way the last verse is translated as keep awake, it's more along the lines again of be ready. Right? All 10 fall asleep. This also isn't a don't fall asleep parable. It's a make sure you have enough oil parable. Being prepared by even already participating, waiting for by participating in all this that the kingdom of heaven is like. So that when circumstances require or allow, you can rest without fear or worry of missing out. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. What's going on here? The purpose of this parable, Jesus telling it when and where he does, is simply to help us see that the kingdom of heaven will be like doing the things that prepare us to shine light in whatever time and times we are given. And while we often think that preparation comes before we can participate, right? You spend time preparing so that at some later time you can participate. Well, if this here is what the kingdom of heaven will be like, then sometimes preparing is participating. And participating is preparing, right? Sometimes there's no real way to prepare for something other than to just start. To just get busy being about it. And apparently, the kingdom of heaven is just that kind of thing. As one commentator put it, amid the generations of Christians throughout the years, right, trying to figure out the whens of all of this. When will this be? Right, and the disciples have been asking that question too. They're no different. One commentator writes this, while awaiting with confidence and hope the triumphant return of Jesus, the community was not to expend its energy on useless speculation, but to instead be committed to its mission of proclaiming the gospel to the world and living in accord with Jesus' teaching, making sure the lights continued to burn. Or in the words of another commentator, thus, when their faith in the bridegroom's return is tested, in the midst of life's joy and pain, ease and adversity, intrigue and boredom, the faith of the wise remains enough. They keep their light shining before others, continuing in community, study, and prayer, doing deeds of mercy, offering forgiveness, and spreading justice and peace. They have not relinquished their hope, that the world and each one of us will one day be transformed and fully reconciled to God. And if you ask me, that already sounds like what Jesus has been going around saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And so maybe the key to being ready, to be alert, to be watching, is to already be living into it, living into the reality of the kingdom, this realm of God that we have been looking at for the past several months. This very thing about which Jesus proclaimed at the very outset, the beginning of his ministry, repent, turn toward this kingdom that has come near. To watch and wait and prepare in the ways of this parable is not just to believe that the kingdom really will come. It's also to live in the reality of the ways of this kingdom, of the reign of God, the reign of heaven now, in this time, and in these times that we are given. And so what will this kingdom be like? It will be like those that steward their time in particular light-producing, kingdom, way of Jesus-oriented ways. Or maybe even better, it will be like those who see time, not just in the ongoing seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, and years, but instead, well, the Bible often speaks of time in two different ways. There's what the Greeks called chronos time, which is, right, that kind of time, the regular flow of minutes and hours, days and years. 1 second is the same as another second. A minute's the same as another minute. But then there's kairos time. Kairos is time, but it's in the sense of the time is ripe for something. And I think here we are being invited to steward not just our seconds, our minutes, our hours, days, or years, to steward not just the chronos that we find ourselves living in, but the kairos, stewarding what our time is ripe for, what it is calling for, what is it, and it is inviting us to be about in light of all the things of the gospel. These ways that we have seen throughout this year in Matthew, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' orientation to and with those on the margins or who are the most vulnerable, his repeated teachings of who is the greatest and who is the least, his answer about the greatest commandment, right? And he'll have some more things to say in the rest of this chapter in the coming weeks. But at the end of the day, so to speak, this parable reminds us that Jesus has already given us everything that we need for our lights to keep burning. Not just in our chronos time, but in the kairos times that we find ourselves in. Which ways? To boil it down to how Jesus boiled it down, right? What are the ways of loving God and loving neighbor as ourselves these times are ripe for? Not just loving, perhaps, you know, abstract neighbor, but the neighbor that's in front of you or beside you or that you hear about across the world. And so for us, the question, the invitation is simply this: how will we live out the time? And how will we live into the times in which we find ourselves in ways that both prepare for and proclaim and embody, that exhibit here and now the reality of the inbreaking kingdom and realm of God in Jesus Christ? Beloved, that is the task of the church. That is the work that we are called to discern together, to be about together. That our light, in and through whatever time and times we find ourselves, that our light may ever reflect the very light of the present and coming of Christ. Beloved, that is who we are called to be. That is what the kingdom of heaven is and will be like. May it be so. Amen.